You're listening to The Naked Scientist with me, Chris Smith. Now we've examined the patient's external appearance for clues as to the cause of death, it's time for us to see what the internal organs can reveal. So pathologist Alison Cluro and I began by opening up the patient and looking into the abdomen. When one looks at a textbook and you see a person drawn, you can see there's very organised loops of bowel, but this does not look organised. Just before we've even moved anything around, there seems to be stuff everywhere.
Yes, I think it's probably a little bit like a personal fingerprint. You know, no one's is probably quite the same, but you're right, it doesn't look anything like the textbooks.
Do you preserve the contents of what's in the intestine?
Yes, so what you're seeing here now is the technician is actually tying off the base of the stomach where it goes into the first part of the small intestine, and that's to preserve the stomach contents should we need to analyse it. Sometimes we do in a case where we are suspicious that the person might have taken an overdose, for example.
What you have in front of you, Alison, is a little table that you've put over the gentleman's legs. And on top of that table, you're now putting each of the things that we have removed from inside his body. And so now this is the process where you're beginning to look at each of the organs in turn, to step through them and see if there's anything in there.
That's right. So with my scissors, I'm cutting down the gullet and into the stomach. There's quite a lot of brown liquid in the stomach, and this is just likely to be fluid that the deceased gentleman has had prior to death. And the striking thing is that you can see there's sort of little black spotty areas over the lining of the stomach here.
Yes, the lining is a sort of pale grey colour, and in some places it's not grey, it's like it's got a rash, a very fine red rash.
Exactly.
Why is that?
So I think this gentleman has some gastric erosions. So these are very superficial damage to the lining of his stomach. That mucus layer, when it breaks down, leads to the stomach acids to be able to actually get to the lining of the stomach wall and cause ulceration and hence gastric ulcers. That's not uncommon in people who are very unwell. We're going to move to some of the other abdominal organs now, and the first one I've got here to look at is the pancreas. Now, the pancreas lies just behind the stomach, and it is an endocrine organ. That is an organ that produces hormones. It does two things, actually. It produces insulin, which obviously is useful in controlling our metabolism of sugars. And insulin is a substance that is in short supply in people with type 1 diabetes, where they're insulin dependent and need to have daily injections.
It's, 15, 20 centimetres long, this one, isn't it? And it's got a sort of bulbous end, a fist-size end, and then a tail coming off that's a few centimetres across. And you've cut slices from one end to the other, right across it. What are you looking for?
Pancreatitis, inflammation of the pancreas, can be seen in people with gallstones, people who are heavy drinkers, but this pancreas looks quite normal.
Put that to one side.
We've got the two kidneys, which are surrounded by a huge casing of fat. You can see that when I take this fat off, you'll be surprised at how small the little kidneys are in size.
Is it normal for the kidneys to be encased in this much fat?
They're always encased in fat, and that's partly a protective process.
We can see going into the kidney is an artery. That's how the blood gets in, off of the aorta.
And then the vein comes out,
and then anything that you don't want, you want to keep the blood, obviously, the urine, that goes down that ureter down towards the bladder. So you've got the kidney out on one side. Now you're doing the same thing on the other side.
They have an interesting external appearance. There is a small cyst, not uncommon to get small cysts in the kidney. They're quite harmless if there's just one or two. We have a mixture of surface appearances. We have a very fine granularity to the surface. It should be very, very smooth, but it isn't. And then we have these much coarser indentations or scars on the surface. So we're seeing two slightly different things there. The fine granularity is something that you tend to see in people who have high blood pressure.
What about the scars that you mentioned? There's a very big one. It looks like a crater on the moon, actually. What's that?
So that is likely related to chronic infection and inflammation. And it's likely that this gentleman has had infection, probably arising from bladder infections.
It's left that
legacy of the structural damage to the kidney. But that's old. There's no evidence of that being an active infection.
No. The only things that we have is we have some thinning of the cortex. That's the outer portion of the kidney tissue. And that thinning is a feature of the high blood pressure. The coarse scarring related to previous episodes of infection. But we don't have anything else at the moment active that's going on in those kidneys.
So not a huge number of clues there, at least not to the acute cause of death yet. Now, Alison did talk, though, James, about high blood pressure. Why is that a problem?
So in a similar way to diabetes, the presence of high pressure blood within the system can also damage the internal lining of the arteries. And again, this can lead to hardening of the arteries over many years, particularly if the high blood pressure is not treated.
Why does it cause that thinning of the outer surface of the kidney that Alison mentioned there? Do we know?
It's due to, I think, the same reason as we get the problems with the heart, that the blood supply to the kidney itself is reduced chronically because the arteries supplying the kidney with blood are narrowed down. And it's this long-term reduction in adequate blood supply that leads to thinning of the cortex of the kidney.
If someone has high blood pressure, what symptoms would they have had?
This is one of the problems with having high blood pressure. Very often it causes no symptoms at all. And this is the reason that GPs are very keen always to measure one's blood pressure when we go to the surgery. By the time it causes things like heart attacks and strokes and kidney problems, the high blood pressure may have been there for 20 or 30 years.
And what can someone do to control their blood pressure?
The best thing to do is to avoid things like smoking, to take regular exercise, try and eat a healthy diet, so eat not so much red meat, plenty of fish, plenty of vegetables and fruit, and to get your blood pressure checked every year or so once you get to the age of 40. If lifestyle measures don't work, then the next step would be drug medications.
And Helen, we spotted that there was this damage to the surface of the kidney. Alison speculated that this could have been because the gentleman, being diabetic, was more prone to infections and possibly kidney infections. Would you go along with that?
People with diabetes are prone to some types of infections, and one particular site where people may get more infections is in their feet. Partly due to the damage in the nerves, people can injure their feet, not know. The blood supply can be reduced, so the cells that fight infection are slower to get there. And also, if the sugar levels are high, it may be there's a better sort of culture medium for the bugs to grow in. So certainly we see increased levels of infections in feet and ulcers. As for the kidneys, I'm not sure we see an awful lot of extra kidney infections themselves in people with diabetes, but I suppose you could speculate that if the sugar levels were high and there was some injury there, it may be a good focus for an infection to develop.
Helen Simpson,